Welcome back to the Deep Dive. I want to start today with a scenario that I think is, well, it's going to painfully resonate with anyone who has ever tried to share knowledge online. You have this brilliant idea,
right?
Maybe it's a training module for your team, a course on crypto, whatever. You have the expertise, you can see the whole thing in your head, but then reality hits.
And it hits hard.
To actually build the thing, to make it look and sound professional, you realize you need a video editor, a sound engineer, a designer, and what, like 3 weeks of free time you definitely do not have.
It's the classic production bottleneck. It's really where good ideas go to die. We see it all the time. The gap between I know something and I can teach it effectively is, I mean, it's usually filled with about $10,000 of gear or just hundreds of hours of your own time.
Exactly. And that is what we are taking apart today. Mm-hmm. We are doing a bit of a tech mashup in this deep dive.
Right.
We've pulled the technical documentation, the API specs, and the strategic reports for two very specific tools that claim to solve this exact bottleneck. We're looking at Mini Course Generator and Auto Content API.
And the mission here, I think it's important to say, it isn't just to review two pieces of software. It's to understand a fundamental shift in how digital education gets built.
Yeah.
We're looking at how you move from manual crafting, which is slow, expensive, and frankly, unscalable, to automated transformation.
Right. The whole premise we're exploring is that one tool, Mini Course Generator, acts as the vessel, you know, the structure of the course.
The container.
And the other, Auto Content API, acts as the industrial engine that fills that vessel with content. Because, let's be honest, an empty vessel isn't very useful.
That's the core concept. One builds the house, the other one manufactures all the furniture. And what's so interesting and why we're looking at this is that these tools are usually looked at in isolation. But when you stack them, the entire economics of course creation just change completely.
So let's start with the house, the vessel. What exactly is Mini Course Generator? And why do they talk so much about overwhelm in their documentation?
It's a dual problem they've identified. There's overwhelm for the creator, which we just touched on, but also, and this is key, overwhelm for the learner. Their whole philosophy is built around micro-learning.
Which is a buzzword we hear all the time, usually gets followed by TikTok for education. But what does it actually look like here?
It's about rejecting the wall of text. You know the feeling, you sign up for some corporate training and it's just this endless scrolling PDF or a 45-minute video of a guy at a whiteboard.
Yeah, my eyes glaze over in about 5 minutes.
The data shows adult attention spans are just crashing. We want bite-sized chunks. So Mini Course Generator, or MCG, uses a card-based structure.
So like a deck of cards.
Exactly. You just swipe through. It's all drag and drop. And it's designed to be interactive, so you have quizzes, flashcards, image hotspots. They are very, very specific in their guidelines about avoiding the repetitive video plus text loop.
Break the pattern.
Break the pattern.
Okay, so it's a slick container. I was looking at their feature list. And you can embed external content. Spotify tracks, YouTube videos, podcast clips. That sounds great, but here is where I see the gap. MCG doesn't make that content for you, does it?
No. No, it doesn't. And that's the catch. MCG gives you the layout. It can even use AI to write the text on the card, which is fine, but text is cheap.
Right.
But if you want a high-quality explainer video on card 3 or a podcast summary on card 5 for people on the go, well, the interface just says paste link here.
So I still have to go film the video. I still have to sit down and record the podcast.
Precisely. You have this beautiful AI-generated outline, but you are still stuck manually producing all the rich media to fill it. The bottleneck is still there. You've got the frame, but no painting inside.
Enter the engine. This is where Auto Content API comes in. Now, I have to be honest. When I first saw the name Auto Content, I just assumed it was another ChatGPT wrapper.
Yeah.
You know, another chatbot.
A fair assumption.
But looking at this automated enterprise report, this thing seems to be functioning very differently.
Very differently. The key word you really want to focus on here, and it's a bit technical, but it's crucial, is headless.
Headless? Like no monitor?
In software terms, yeah, sort of. It means it's not designed for you to sit there and chat with it through a user interface.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a pretty dashboard where you type in a box. It's an API, an application programming interface. It runs in the background.
So it talks to other software, not to people.
Exactly. It's a manufacturing plant. You send raw materials in one end and finished goods come out the other.
That's a great analogy.
You feed it raw text, a URL, maybe a PDF, and it transforms that input into, well, what they call broadcast quality multimedia assets. And they position themselves specifically as a programmable alternative to something like Google's Notebook LM.
Oh, interesting. Notebook LM has been making waves, especially with those AI podcast overviews.
Right. But Notebook LM is a consumer tool. It's a walled garden. You have to drag and drop your files manually. You listen to it yourself. Auto content is built for scale. It's built to be automated. And the specific assets it generates are, I mean, they're exactly what a course creator needs to fill those empty slots in Mini Course Generator.
Okay, let's break down those assets. Because the claims here are pretty bold, indistinguishable from human speech for audio.
It's getting very, very close. They offer an endpoint for two host podcasts. So it's not just a robot reading a script. It generates a dialogue, you know, banter, back and forth, interruptions between two synthetic personas to explain a topic.
So theoretically, you could take a text lesson from your course, say a really difficult chapter on supply chain logistics, feed it to the API, and get back a 5-minute discussion about it.
Yes. And just think about what that does for the learner. We talk about mental availability. It's a concept from marketing, but it applies so well to learning. If your course is just text, I can only learn when I'm staring at a screen.
Which is limited. I'm not doing that while I'm driving or at the gym.
Yeah, exactly. But if you use the API to generate a podcast version of that lesson and you embed that Spotify link into the MCG card, suddenly you've captured my commute. You've captured my workout. You're meeting the learner where they are. You're increasing the whole surface area of your content.
That's a huge upgrade in accessibility. Okay, what about video? Because that's usually the most expensive part. I can record audio on my phone, and it sounds okay, but video? Video needs lighting, editing, B-roll.
This is where the economics get really interesting. I mean, almost disruptive. The report highlights an explainer video endpoint. You send it text, and it returns a 60 to 90 second horizontal video. It selects the stock footage. It adds the voiceover, the background music, everything.
And what's the cost comparison? I mean, a video crew is thousands of dollars.
A professional 60 second explainer video, fully produced, is easily $3,000 to $10,000. Easy.
Okay.
The report lists the API cost at around 400 credits per video. That translates to roughly €4.
Wait, €4 versus $3,000. That's not a discount. That's a completely different business model.
It's an arbitrage opportunity. It completely changes the physics of what you can produce. If you're building a course on workplace safety, you can't afford a video crew for every single safety rule. You'd go bankrupt. But for €4, you can have a dedicated video for every single slide.
So you're not just saving money, you're able to create a density of content that was just impossible before.
Exactly. You're moving from a world of media scarcity to media abundance. And in an attention economy, abundance wins as long as the quality holds up.
And there's another layer to this abundance in the strategic report, globalization. I feel like this gets overlooked because everyone is so focused on the generative part. But the API supports over 50 languages.
This is massive for your total addressable market, your TAM. Usually, if you want to sell your course in Spanish or Japanese, that's a huge project. You need translators, new voice actors. You have to re-edit all the video text. It's a logistical nightmare.
Yeah, it's not worth it unless you're a giant corporation.
Right. But with this stack, it's just another API call. You take your English content from Mini Course Generator, you feed it to Auto Content API with a parameter, target language, Spanish, and it just returns the audio and video assets in Spanish.
Synthesize in that language. You're not just talking subtitles.
No, fully synthesized speech. So you can launch globally on day one. You aren't just a local educator anymore. You're a global media company right from your laptop.
Okay, I have to play devil's advocate here for a second. We're talking about generating thousands of assets, automating everything, translating into languages we might not even speak. The big fear with generative AI is hallucination. Just making stuff up.
It's a totally valid fear. If you're teaching a course on financial regulations or medical compliance, you absolutely cannot have the AI inventing laws.
Exactly. The AI said it was legal is not a defense that holds up in court.
This is why the deep research endpoint is probably the most critical feature they have for credibility. It's what distinguishes this from a standard large language model.
How so? How is it different from just, you know, asking ChatGPT?
It uses what's called an agentic workflow.
Okay, break that down for us.
When you ask a standard chatbot a question, it's just predicting the next word based on its training data, which might be 2 years old. It's essentially a very sophisticated guess.
Right.
When you use the deep research endpoint, the AI acts as an agent. It actively goes out and browses the live web.
So it's looking for current information right now.
Yes. And it targets reputable sources. The documentation mentions sites like SEC.gov or the Financial Times, and it reads the current data, it cross-references it, and then it provides structured output with citations and confidence scores.
So it fact-checks itself before it generates the content.
Precisely. So the workflow completely changes. You don't start by writing the lesson yourself. You start by hitting the Deep Research API to gather the facts. You ask, what are the latest changes to interest rate policies as of this week? It brings you back verified data. Then you feed that clean data into Mini Course Generator.
That solves the black box problem. You're grounding the AI in reality.
It moves you from being a writer to being a fact curator. You're not the source of the truth. You're the manager of the process that finds the truth.
Which brings me to the practical side of this. We've talked about APIs, endpoints. I can hear some listeners tuning out because they aren't coders. How does a normal person actually connect the vessel and the engine?
This is the bridge. Both platforms really emphasize no-code integration. They hook into tools like Make.com or Zapier.
The visual automation tools.
Right, if this, then that. You don't write code, you just draw lines between bubbles on a screen. So let's paint the picture of the dream workflow they describe in the case studies. Imagine you have a Google Drive folder.
Okay, simple enough.
You drag a PDF into that folder. Let's say it's a new product manual for a coffee machine. That is the only action you take.
I drop the file and I walk away.
Make.com detects the file. It wakes up. It splits the job. It sends the PDF to Mini Course Generator and says, build a course structure from this. And at the same exact time, it sends that same PDF to Auto Content API and says, make me a podcast summary and three explainer videos.
Parallel processing.
Exactly. 5 minutes later, the assets are done. Make.com grabs the Spotify link, grabs the video files, and slots them directly into the Mini Course Generator outline. You get a Slack notification. Your course is ready for review.
That is, well, that's industrial. That's not crafting. That is full-on manufacturing.
It is, and
Yeah.
there is a side benefit to this manufacturing approach that I think digital marketers will love: programmatic SEO.
Search engine optimization. How does this help there?
Well, Google hates thin content. If your course landing page is just a paragraph of text, you're not going to rank. You're invisible. But if you have this workflow, every single landing page for every course module has a unique video, a unique audio track, and a unique structure.
Which increases dwell time. People stick around to watch the video.
And Google loves dwell time. It's a huge signal that the content is valuable. So you start ranking for thousands of niche keywords because you have rich, dense content on every single page, all generated automatically. You're essentially flooding your niche with high-quality signals.
It really, really changes the role of the creator. You're not the person typing the words or filming the video anymore. You're operating at a much higher level of abstraction.
No, you become the architect. You design the pipeline. You decide what needs to be taught, but you don't lay the bricks yourself.
That leads to a bit of a provocative thought I want to end on. If the structure is AI and the video is AI and the podcast voice is AI, I mean, what is the value of the human?
It's the million-dollar question. The sources suggest the human becomes the strategist and the verifier. You know, you're the one putting the pieces together and ensuring the output aligns with reality. But it goes deeper. Are we ready to learn primarily from synthetic media?
That's the thing. If I'm taking a history course and the voice telling me the story is synthetic and the face explaining the battle is an avatar, does that change my relationship to the knowledge?
It might. We crave human connection. But if the synthetic media becomes truly indistinguishable from reality, and we're seeing how close it is, maybe the efficiency just outweighs the lack of soul. Or maybe actual human-created content becomes a luxury good.
The handcrafted course versus the industrial knowledge stream, like buying a handmade table versus one from IKEA.
Exactly. We might see a bifurcation in the market. There will be these premium human-taught courses that cost a fortune, and then the efficient AI-generated courses that are accessible to everyone for just pennies.
But for the creator who just needs to get information out there now, efficiently and clearly, this Stack Mini Course Generator plus Auto Content API, it's a superpower.
The bottleneck is definitely gone. The only limit now is whether you're willing to build the workflow.
And whether you're ready to let go of the craft and embrace the engine, that is a lot to chew on. Whether you want to be the bricklayer or the architect, the tools are there. Thanks for diving in with us, and we'll see you next time.